Thank you, Greg, and good afternoon to all our sisters and brothers out there. Happy Sabbath. A little delayed reaction somewhere. Anyway, let's flash back to around 500 BC in our minds. A first wave of Jewish exiles have returned from Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. And among them was a young prophet and priest named Zechariah. He was in Jerusalem at that time. Two men from the town of Bethel come to Zechariah and the other priests. They're carrying a question from people in their hometown, their townspeople. And they ask, "Shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain?" Meaning abstain from food and drink or fast, "as I have done these many years." And for reference, that's in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 3. Just to get us started. Now, this is timely because this evening starts the Jewish fast of the fifth month, or Tisha B'Av, as they call it in Hebrew. The name Tisha B'Av simply means the ninth of the month Ab, and Ab is the fifth month on the Jewish calendar. So today, oh, by the way, the title of this, if you like titles, I call it the Fast of the Fifth Month. That's what it's about. Today, let's look at the basis for this Jewish fast in biblical and secular history. And we'll see then what God's word tells us on that subject. First, what is the ninth of Av all about? It's the traditional date on which God's temple in Jerusalem was burned twice. First, after the Babylonian captivity, or before, I should say, the Babylonian captivity, when it was invaded in 586 BC under Nebuchadnezzar. And centuries later, the second temple, also called Herod's temple, was destroyed by the Romans under General Titus in 70 AD. And according to tradition, those both happened on the same day of the same month. Now we realize that this fast of the ninth of Ab is not mentioned among the sacred days in God's calendar, in his commandments. It arose from custom, from biblical, or I should say rabbinic traditions of the priesthood, judgments, writings over the centuries. And it seems to have begun during the Babylonian captivity. Today, the day is not widely observed among Jews, except perhaps in the state of Israel and among Orthodox and some conservative Jews. Now, many customs, do's and don'ts, apply to the Jewish Tisha B'Av observance. And not to dwell on these, but just to give you a few examples. Since learning the Torah is considered a delight, studying the Torah is forbidden on Tisha B'Av, because it's a day of affliction, except for a few passages that are specifically approved that go in harmony with the service, such as in Job or in Lamentations. Similarly, people are not to wash themselves, use, you know, perfumes and ointments, wear leather shoes, or sit higher than 1 foot above the ground, at least until midday. There are some exceptions to these, of course. Now, it isn't my intent today to belittle the motivation of devout Jews who observe this day of mourning over the past destructions of their capital city and temple. Rather, I tried to look objectively at the available evidence surrounding this observance to see if the ninth of Ab, the date, can be validated for the destruction of the temples. Let's look first at 2 Kings 25, so I'll compare what's in 2 Kings with what's in Jeremiah. What do the scriptures reveal about the date the first temple, Solomon's temple, was destroyed by the Babylonians? See 2 Kings 25, verses 8 and 9 to start us off. Or you can just jot it down, it's short. Now on the seventh day of the fifth month, which is Ab, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Eternal, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every great house he burned with fire. And it goes on from there. Now let's go and compare that with what Jeremiah wrote covering the same event. In Jeremiah 52, at verse 12. Jeremiah 52, 12. Now on the 10th day, now that's interesting, said the 7th day in 2 Kings. Here it says the 10th day of the 5th month, which is Av. And it's also the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, who was in the service of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. Essentially the same phrasing. 52:13, he burned the house of the Eternal, etc. Same phrasing. Now that's interesting. Jeremiah wrote the same narrative, but here he's using a different date, the 10th of the month rather than the 7th. Now, it may be that this Nebuzaradan left the area of Babylon on the 7th and arrived there on the 10th. That's one possibility. But neither of these accounts really says the temple was burned on the 9th of Ab. And God doesn't tell us exactly which day the first temple was burned, if that matters. Now let's skip ahead now, over 650 years. Now the second temple, Herod's temple, stood gloriously in Jerusalem, in place of the old one. But the Jewish forces were rebellious toward Rome at that time. There were attacks of the going on other parts of the area of Judah. The Roman armies under General Titus were sent to subdue these rebellions and went to the Jewish capital in 70 AD. And Titus met great resistance. And this was after a siege of about 7 or 8 months, as I recall. Now, as another check, was the second temple burned on the 9th of Av? By 70 AD, all the biblical scriptures had already been written except for Revelation, so we won't find it covered in the Bible. So we'll have to look elsewhere, including in the history of its destruction. So what about the Jewish Roman historian Josephus? You've heard his name a lot. He was born a Jew, and he was in Jerusalem at the time of the Roman invasion. And Josephus writes very detailed accounts of that fall of Jerusalem. And he was in the midst of the Roman invasion that year and wrote graphic accounts of the horrors that took place. And by the way, he was working at that time for Titus, the Roman general. So he doesn't have high repute among the Jews. However, Josephus also is not very clear about the dates of the burning of the temple, the two temples. He wrote different major works years apart. The first one is about the period of the Roman invasion. And then a few years later, he wrote about the prior history of the Jews in a different work. And that included the Babylonian invasion. And there are some differences. Now, describing the Roman assault around Herod's temple in 70 AD, Josephus writes very dramatically as follows, quote, "But as for that house," meaning God's temple, God had for certain long ago doomed it to the fire. And now that that fatal day was come, it was the 10th day of the month, Lous, Roman month, which is the same as the Jewish Ab. 10th day of the month, upon which it was formerly burnt by the king of Babylon. So he's saying that both of these took place on the 10th of Ab. But then, years later, when Josephus went back and wrote the Wars of the Jews after the fact, the Antiquities of the Jews, he told it a little bit differently. He said the first temple was burned by Babylon on the first of Ab. And he may have made a mistake there. But it's either date correct or exact. I don't know. I can't tell. And really, does it matter? From all this, I have to conclude, it must not matter much to God because what the exact date was, because he hasn't let us know. And if you look at the history of the Jews from keeping this observance, there hasn't been any big turnaround that took place in the calamities against them either. Is it that God didn't care? I don't know. Please turn now to Isaiah chapter 58. You probably recognize that chapter. The prophet Isaiah was given a message from God about how to fast before him. Let's review Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 6. And he begins by quoting what the people of that time were thinking. Isaiah 58, 3, people say, "Why have we fasted, and you, God, do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you don't even notice?" And then, verse 4, God answers, "Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I choose?" In verse 5, "a day for a man to humble himself, to kind of grovel around and be miserable? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed, and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Eternal?" Now, when people fast in self-pity and try to make God feel sorry enough for them to do something for them, that isn't what God is looking for. And continuing, verse 6, "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness personally, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke?" And that means changing ourselves and not burdening anyone else. So in summary now, we have noticed a few things about this fast of Tisha B'Av. The Bible does not mention it as a fast that God has ordained. The date of the 9th of Ab for the temple burnings is hard to verify, implying that the exact date is not really important for an observance. And now let's go back to Zechariah 7, to our opening question. They ask, "Shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain?" And again, that was Zechariah 7, verse 3. First, before answering that, God inspired his own question back to that question. He said in verse 5, Zechariah 7, 5, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted?" In that vein, we think of Christ's words in the Sermon on the Mount about whenever you fast. Christ said, go ahead and wash your face, shave, look presentable, and do not make a show of fasting to impress others, to be noticed by others, because you're fasting to God and God knows your mind. Now down to Zechariah 7, verse 8, as we conclude with more of God's reply. Zechariah 7, 8, then the word of the Eternal came to Zechariah, saying, in verse 9, thus has the Eternal of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion, each to his brother. Verse 10, do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, not even on the freeway. So what God wants then, we see, is a matter of our hearts. Enough said. Have a good Sabbath.